whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
And another tough loss in a two-month stretch where there's been a whole bunch of tough losses for Golden State. Ball thrown in and Golden State losing 114-98. And the Warriors will have to try to get hot on the road on what's going to be a chilly road trip.
Oh, baby. There's a lot going on in the Bay Area. Justin Verlander signs a one-year deal with the Giants for $15 million. We'll talk to Kontos in the 9 o'clock hour about that. Nick Sorensen fired as a defense coordinator of the 49ers. He'll be on a search for a new one. They want to retain him, but we'll see about that. But we will start with the Golden State Warriors. As we say good morning to everybody out there, you know the drill. You know the drill. Overnight dancers are not happy because nobody wanted to go out after last night. The Warriors have lost their last two games by a combined 46 points. They've lost their last two games at Chase Center by a combined 46 points. They go 3-6 in their last nine. It did not even leave the state of California. They had one road game in that stretch down in L.A. They lost it to the Clippers. They've lost to the Clippers all three times this year when they've matched up with them. And the vibes are not good right now. As Steve Kerr said yesterday, there's a crisis in confidence. A crisis in confidence. And a look on Steph Curry's face, and this is where I want to start, because this upcoming road trip, four games, and it starts in Detroit, who is 18-18, and Cade Cunningham is an all-star now. He is. He's arrived. He's averaging 24-10-5, and the Pistons are rolling. It's not going to get any easier. And so I ask fans out there, 888-957-9570, what is the solution? And I want to start here, Shasky, because I know you watched it. Late in the game, Heat's rolling up 18. Warriors call a timeout. There's empty seats. There's no energy in the arena. And the look on Stephen Curry's face as he walked to the bench, and he's looking around the arena, and he's looking at the rafters. And it looked like he was about to walk to the locker room. He circled back, and he looked exasperated. Anthony Slater, Evan Giddings, Whitley Sandrin, everybody's got the damn video. And I thought, boy, that's a look that I've seen before. That's a look of a defeated superstar running out of answers on how to correct this problem the Warriors have right now. Bad shot selection. They couldn't figure out the zone defense Miami ran. They ran about 12 possessions of zone every game. It felt like they ran 100 possessions of zone defense yesterday. I saw it in sack. It befuddled Sacramento for a while. There's a lot of issues here, but the superstar has run out of answers. And we're in a crisis, folks.
Well, I think it's everyone's thinking like he's thinking, oh, you got to trade everybody. I think it was more reflecting of like, damn, man, this I did kind of sign up for this. Oh, he did. I mean, like, right? Whether we think it is real or not, like, there's only so many trade pieces that you have on a roster, right? Everyone starts with the same things. Draft capital, money. It's how you want to spend it. And when you spend certain money and you keep certain players on the team and you align yourself with certain guys, like, you do, to a degree, make your own bed. And so I think he was reflecting on all of it. I don't think it was just trade everyone.
No, I wasn't insinuating that.
No, I know, but I think a lot of people did. Interpret it like, oh, he wants to be either traded out of here or trade everyone away.
Tim Kuhn, what's his name?
I think it's Cowan.
Is it Cowan? All right, I'm blown it off. Anyway, he wrote a great article yesterday at ESPN.com, and the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Tick, 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 tick. And it felt like last night it went boom. It all blew up. Because I saw some empty seats. I saw a lack of energy from the fan base. I saw a lack of energy from the team. The fan base feeds off the team. And you come out in the first quarter, you're down 29-23 to a team that played in double overtime in Sacramento last night. And their starters played heavy minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy minutes. And they come out in that first quarter like that. And then you're down 13 at the half. And now you just look at, like, Steph Curry just went through the last two games. What teams are doing now to Steph, they're just saying, you can score whatever you want. We're going to take your playmaking away. He had zero assists in the last two games. First time in his career, he's had zero assists.
Okay, this now pairs me to the next two highest paid players after Steph Curry are Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. And, like, the reality is that Andrew Wiggins, you know, is kind of who we thought he was, even though he's had a good year. Like, overall, I would say he's had a good year. But we want him to be the guy that we saw in one playoff run, when the reality is he's probably more like the guy he's been throughout the 8 or 9 other years of his career. You know, he's a guy who's going to score occasionally. He's going to play some good defense. But ideally, he's your third or fourth best player on a team. And on this one, he's being asked to be your second best player, and he's fallen short. Draymond Green. Draymond Green is a defensive specialist at this point in his career. And when he's the second highest paid player on the team, as well as Andrew Wiggins, because they make about the same amount of money, he's not going to hit any open shots. You know, he's just not now.
But
conversation. It's how you allocate the funds. And so when you have two guys making max money combined, like, so those two players are making max money and you're unwilling to move one of those guys, you're limited in what you can do.
Well, I saw last night from Draymond Green. So we do these pre-show calls. As soon as 10 o'clock hits, we do the pre-show call and figure out what we're going to do on television. And I thought, man, Jaime Jaquez is coming in hot. Maybe Draymond Green guards him. And Jaime Jaquez got off to a hell of a start last night.
He's a good player.
He's a really good player. Just got selected a pick before Brandon Podziemski. And he blew by Draymond a couple times. Drew a second foul. And I saw defensively a guy struggling in Draymond Green. So if he's not playing defense at a high level, or if he's not able to play defense at a high level, then things get really tough for this organization and this team. And last night I saw guys blowing by Draymond, and I go, whoa. And then I see him limping up the court with the back injury. And this is what happens when you get old. You start getting aches and pain, you know, little aches here and there, and it starts the league. I hear from the guys all the time about being old in the league. It's not fun. But I saw him defensively. As you mentioned, he's a defensive specialist. Well, I saw him last night struggling defensively, and it was alarming. And overall, without Jonathan Kuminga, this is like, you know, Kuminga, $30 million may have been a bargain now. Because yesterday's price is not today's price. And that price tag is going up, folks, with the way Kuminga was playing. Last night, in the last two nights, losing by 30 to Sac, and then losing last night to a shorthanded Heat team by 16. And I'm looking at Joe Lacob sitting courtside. And I'm looking at Steve Kerr, and we'll play some Steve Kerr sound, and I'm looking at the fans just exit, like back-to-back nights, just exiting the building late third quarter, mid-third quarter, walking out of Chase Center, excuse me. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, this four-game road trip better go well, because I think we're at a pivotal point with this franchise before we get to the All-Star break. Last night was as bad as it gets. It was. What are they now after trailing by three quarters? I think 1-15? They're 1-15 when Charlie got the three quarters. And Steph Curry said it. We're not good enough to come back if we fall behind.
But, like, I'm looking at the Heat, and I see a team that their quote-unquote prime player, the $52 million guy in Jimmy Butler, is out of the lineup. And what happens? Jaime Jaquez, what's he in, his second or third year?
Second year.
Okay. Jovic, who...
Well,
I mean, that guy was a monster.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, and he's a 20-year-old or something like that.
Well, yeah. Well, it was funny. On our pre-show call, I said, you know, I think today's game, because I knew the Heat starters had played heavy minutes. I watched the entire game against Sacramento. I said, they're going to be tired. But it could come down to the others. Their others versus our others. And I don't even like using that because it feels demeaning towards guys in reserve roles. But I thought it was going to come down to Jovic. Highsmith walked out, had a solid night in Sacramento. Ware, who's got athleticism mm-hmm. out the building, and then Alec Burks, our old friend from the Golden State Warriors.
He was hitting.
They outscored the Warriors, bitch. Destroyed the Warriors, bitch. And I thought, okay, this is a great opportunity for Buddy Hield, Moses Moody, Kyle Anderson, and Buddy right now is just struggling.
Oh, he's been no, he's he hasn't just, struggled. He's been awful. It's okay. You know what? We like Buddy. He was scorching red hot. He's been awful for about 2 months.
30% in the month of December. Right now, he's struggling. He scored 11 points off of 12 shots. And so, what's the solution, folks? What is the solution? Are they a trade away from being a trade away from being a trade away? Are they being a trade away from what? And right now they're seeking. Sacramento is rising and ascending in the West. The Warriors are close to being out of the box. By the time they come back home to the Bay Area, they may be out of the box.
I know everybody's doom and gloom.
No, it's not doom and gloom.
Everyone is doom and gloom.
What do you mean by everyone?
Oh, I just think that everyone around this team is really, really, really disappointed. And I'm saying, like, at the beginning of the year, I didn't have these championship aspirations. I was like, playoffs.
It's not about championship. It's about the playoffs. I'm not even thinking championship. I'm thinking playoffs. Top six.
Well, they're out their second top best six. Player in Jonathan Kuminga. It's going to be rough.
And when they, when they started off 12-3 and everybody's talking power rankings and this and that, I said, remember, I had to call with you and I said, Shasky, we need to wait a second.
Well, we were teasing and having fun.
No, but a lot of people were gassed up. I'm telling you, man, that first week, in the first couple of weeks, I'm going around town, and how many people were quick on the street, on Twitter, DMs and everything telling me, boy, I'm so happy we got rid of Clay. The vibes were bad and yada, yada, yada. We got great players. Now what? You know, I'm not even trying to go there, but from the first few weeks, everybody was telling me how to vibe. Oh, man, Clay's going to regret it, da, 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 blah, blah, blah. And now what? They're 6-15 since the 12-3 start. So what is the solution?
I don't think there is a solution. I think you kind of got to just ride it out. I know no one wants to hear that. It's not the sexy thing. You know, blow everything up. No. As long as Steph and Steve Kerr are aligned with Draymond, your options to get better because of the way you have to match up the salaries are very limited. All right? It just is. And so I think all of these combinations and all these deals, you're probably giving up a lot to make yourself incrementally better.
Well, yesterday
this isn't baseball where you could trade up one marquee player for a bunch of prospects. No, like, you have to match things up.
No doubt. Well, I mentioned yesterday that I've come to the conclusion that I think it is better to ride it out and wait for a lot more superstars to become available. But then where does that leave Stephen Curry? Does he want to wait on that? What does Steph want? Let's go to the lines. 888-957-9570. The number. Lines already stacked up here. It's going to be a heavy Warriors show. We'll talk Nick Sorensen, who got fired. Who do you want as DC? We got three main topics today. We're going to keep it simple. Simple and sweet. Warriors, Nick Sorensen, and Verlander. That's what's on deck today. And what else would you want to talk about around these parts? Huh?
If I have to watch another offensive possession where Draymond catches the ball at the elbow with his back to the basket and never squares up to the hoop, and it's just like, hot potato, who can I shovel this pass to? Quickly, take it, I'm coming to set a pull screen. Dog, square up to the hoop! The whole league is squared up to the hoop! And we have a guy who refuses to look at the basket.
Triple threat position. There's a play with Draymond Green in that game against the zone where he's 2 feet away from the hoop. And he passed it out to the three-point line. And if you look at the bench, go look at Pat Spencer. Pat Spencer looks and he goes, slay it up.
Pat Spencer.
And By the way, Pat Spencer's
one of the positives on
right.
this team.
But, hey, Pat, he's a good kid. I like Pat Spencer. I met his mother, Donna. His brother came when they came in with the Memphis Grizzlies. Really good guys. Really good dude.
I just don't see, like, I at the beginning of the year, and like my brain was telling me, look, Steph's awesome, but if your two best players are 36 years old or whatever,
you're going to have problems in this league.
Yes.
It's a young man's league.
Yes. As you watch 20-year-old Jovic, am I even pronouncing that right?
Jovic.
Yeah, Jovic. Nikola Jovic. I'm like, oh my gosh, Nikola I'm getting Jovic. The Jokic-Jovic thing confused. And then Jaime Jaquez, who's actually playing. Like, that's the thing that the Heat do really well. That the Warriors have failed to do. They do empower certain players in the youngsters, and they give them opportunities. Yep. They also will yank you and stash you on the bench.
No doubt.
You know, see the Duncan Robinson, for example. But even Duncan Robinson, they find a way to utilize him in an effective way. And I go back to the Buddy Hield thing. Like, Buddy was really important that first month. He's been atrocious for multiple months.
Well, it's, you know what?
And this is why, and but this you know goes what, back though? To your thing, this is why he didn't play a lot in Philly.
Yeah, well, this is why he was on so many different teams. It's why Schroeder's been on so many different teams. This is who Buddy is. Let's take one call before the break. And I want a guy to come in here and set the tone. And we got a lot of worthy candidates. I got my boy Tim in North Carolina. I got my boy Cam in Antioch. I got Coach in Vallejo. But I'm going to start off with Nick in San Jose. because I want to hear from Nick in San Jose. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, brothers. I want to say a couple things. Meeting you guys a few weeks ago, Bonte, you signing that picture. It's in my son's room. Shasky, I already blew up the picture of you and I.
Oh, let's
go. Thankful. I'm thankful. And Steph is about to pass Allen Iverson on the scoring list, and he hit some circus shots yesterday. But yesterday was such a juxtaposition for me. The Heat culture versus, sadly right now, the Warrior culture. It's night and day. They were in double overtime in our capital, and they burned their starters, and we go down in the first quarter. And I got to tell you, I love Chase Center in regards to the facilities, but we got no home court. We got no home court. Where is Hart, boys? Our roster is so bad. Yeah. GB2 can't stay on the court. Pods is regressed. Buddy Hield, you know why he's on five teams now? Schroeder dominates us when we play against him, and he looks bad. And how could Kerr, you know, Chesky, you and I, coach, they were in a zone for crying out loud. How can't you pick that apart? And you guys are so smart. Draymond Green, triple position. Buddy, the ball up. Play Spencer. God damn it. Play guys that know what they're doing. We have a declining asset in Draymond, bros. Here's the last thing. We got to get guys like the Mavericks did, young, athletic guys. And it's over, dude. We're a 38-42 win team. Dude, it's over. Now, please answer this question for me. I just need to know this. Please give me a cogent answer why KD left. I just need to know that. I search for it. I don't have an answer for it. Please tell me why he left, Bonte. Please
you
want to
go back to KD?
KD?
You want to go back to KD?
Guys, like, this is what Warrior fans just neglect to remember. It always comes back to Draymond. KD,
well,
okay?
But like, a lot of fans,
Jordan
too.
Poole,
but a lot of fans, too. A lot of fans, too. What a KD out of here.
No doubt.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget. When KD strained his calf, which later on became an Achilles, when he was having an all-time postseason against the Rockets in Game 5, and the way he hit that mid-range jumper, and I remember as just sitting there in the media section, and as a fan of the game, I said, wow, this is incredible. This guy's playing at a high level. Oh, my God. This is Dirk in 2011. And he left off the court, and I go, oh, my gosh. And then the Warriors ended up pulling out that game. I'll never remember all the stuff I heard on a post-game show that night on 95.7 again. I don't remember who was on it. Maybe Stiney Towney, Guru,
no,
I have no idea.
No, it was Kolsky probably around that time.
Maybe, I don't remember, but.
Because yeah. I was in Miami.
Everybody kept saying, oh, it's good to have the old Warriors basketball back. Oh, it's good to have the old Warriors back. And I thought, we're going to run an all-time legend out of town. We're going to run an all-time legend out of town, and now people are begging on their knees for Kevin Durant.
The night this happened, as I slap it, you know, like clapping your face, yeah. It was like, come on, it was Dundada.
Man.
Things were said that can't be unsaid.
Man.
I mean, it is what it is. Look, and again, no one's saying that Dre isn't good, but these are the byproducts of it. When you start to age and decline and you alienate any of your young assets, and who wants to go play with him?
Well, there's a lot of people who came to play. We'll get to Draymond Green. We'll get to Draymond Green. But I think there's bigger issues with Draymond Green.
Of course there is.
There's bigger issues with Draymond Green.
When $80 million of your roster is locked in, and Curry, obviously $50 million and whatever, 55 plus, and then you have the $25 million in Draymond, it makes it difficult to be in all of these different trade discussions. Your full lot has to be on the board to get a difference maker.
Well, the full lot is on board. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you. I saw something. Hey, let's break. Let's break because I got a lot of thoughts. It was tough to sleep last night thinking about this game, thinking about what I saw last night inside of Chase Center. It was humbling the last two nights. So we're gonna get to everybody: Coach Cam, Tim, everybody on hold. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is not Warriors Live. They don't have a game today. I guess the segment is brought to you by Safeway.
You reap what you sow, brother.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
You know, B, I've been thinking about this long and hard with the Warriors, and we could talk till we're blue in the face about woulda, coulda, shoulda for trades and things like that. right? Oh, they should have went after this guy. Oh, they should have went after that guy. Oh, they should go get Jimmy Butler right now or Vucevic, whatever. I personally believe the biggest, like, error by this organization, in my, just in my view, the biggest thing, if we're talking basketball, actual basketball, their inability to find the next version of what Klay Thompson brought to the table when he was in his prime. And what I mean by that is a two guard who can defend, has some size, okay, who can defend, knock down just enough shots. No one's going to be as prolific shooting as Klay Thompson. I mean, you're talking about replacing a freaking first ballot Hall of Famer, a legend, okay, a statue guy. So it's easier said than done, but they have not been able to find a legitimate two guard to be able to pair alongside Steph Curry. And whether that's via trade, the draft, development, etc., I think that's the number one thing. It starts there. I think it's so hard for them to just run offense and defense the way that they want to play alongside such a unique player like Steph Curry. I think their inability to swing on two guards, I would have drafted one over and over and over. They keep going after threes and fours and another backup point guard. I would have been hell-bent on finding the next version of whatever Klay Thompson was. I think that, for me, that's my money. I think that's been one of my biggest frustrations because you're left with three-guard rotations that drive me crazy.
Yeah, let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Coach, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy New Year to you both, and may your family prosper. I mean that sincerely. You know, looking at the Warriors, it's like taking that test in school where it was multiple choice and E was all of the above. Everything anyone says about the Warriors right now, yeah, lack of shooting, yes. You know, no big man, no. Unathletic, yes. You know, so E, all of the above. So I'm going to agree with everyone here. But you know what? The Warriors last night had 5 free throw attempts.
Yep.
That's 10 minutes for Jonathan Kuminga, okay? Mm-hmm. That's 10 minutes on the court for Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. He's about far and away getting to the foul line more than anyone else on the team. He's the only one that can draw fouls and put the other team in foul trouble is Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I'm going to be a little careful with what I say here, but please take it in context. Right now, as this team is currently set up, Kuminga is more valuable than Draymond Green, okay? Kuminga is more valuable than Draymond Green as the team is constructed right now. They don't have anyone else like Kuminga.
I agree.
Right now, right now the Warriors are so under-athletic, if that is a word, okay?
Oh, yeah, and they're not athletic. You could just say they're not athletic enough.
Nor are they big.
Which is why I've been saying this for a couple years, Coach. You've been hearing me on these airwaves. When they play young athletic teams, which is basically the NBA, they struggle. They struggle. And nobody's wanted to hear it about Kuminga. You know what I'm saying? There's been so much pushback on what the Warriors should be and could be because we want to hold on to the old guard. You have to adjust. You have to evolve. And right now, the Warriors, maybe they're trying to evolve, and maybe it's just too late, Coach. Maybe it's just too late.
You know, you're right. And even like Dennis Schroeder, this is not the Dennis Schroeder that ran Jeff Teague out of Atlanta. Okay, this is an old Dennis Schroeder. He's not that same guy. So, Vontae, I'll give you credit. You have told your coworkers in the afternoon about Kuminga for years, and they didn't want to listen to you. So I do want to give you credit on that. But anyway, guys, thanks for letting me talk. I appreciate it.
Hey, Coach, my daughter doesn't listen to me most of the time. My fiance doesn't listen to me half the time. I'm not trying to tell them what to do. I'm just trying to give you an opinion. But we get so hell-bent on some certain people's opinions and say, nah, this can't work. My problem is when you think back to 2 years ago, a couple seasons ago, when the situation happened with Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, I remember thinking going to media day, and I was talking to Poole, I was talking to everybody, shooting commercial, and I was like, damn, Warriors about to go back-to-back, man. Like, I remember talking to Ron. We talked to Ron Adams after they won in Boston, and he goes, quite frankly, I think we overachieved. I'm thinking, damn, they're ahead of schedule. They won another one. And a situation happened between Draymond Green and Jordan Poole, and they went on that first road trip, and it felt like, okay, it's the veterans in the lineup, and then let's go to the hockey subs, and it's the youngsters out there by themselves trying to learn how to play. And then you get the Anthony Lamb situation where Anthony Lamb is playing, I think he's in New Zealand right now or Australia.
Fonte.
And that was a guy who prevented J.K., who I guess Anthony Lamb, quote-unquote, was more able to contribute to winning at that time. But when you got a young lottery pick, you got to just let him go through the bumps and bruises. You got to let him go through the trials and tribulations of trying to learn how to be a pro. Because here we are now in year four. Some people are like, oh, wow, Kuminga can play. Well, you know what? I actually saw that when Wiggins had to leave the team for 2 months due to personal reasons. We actually saw Kuminga stabilize lineups and come in as a second-year player and play well. And so my problem is the lack of inconsistency with playing some of the youngsters to get them ready for this moment now. Because now, guess what? I don't know how good Moses Moody is. I don't know if he's a good player or bad player. It's year four.
Well, Moses is a whole nother, like, let's just put him to the side. I don't think he's that great, but that's a whole
can of worms. Yeah, I don't know if he is.
What I would say to you is, the way I have seen Moses Moody be utilized is kind of a microcosm of what has ailed them the last couple of years. They don't even know.
They don't know.
You know? And so, you know, there was a time, and I'm going to make an odd analogy here, and I want your opinion on it. There was a time where I was like, man, Frank Gore is still really good, but we have to move on. And I didn't see a situation where the San Francisco 49ers could have Frank Gore on the team and him not be the number one back.
Yeah.
And not that he wasn't still a good player. I think he went on to play another, I don't know, 6 years?
4 years, 4 years.
Yeah, whatever it was. And he was serviceable.
Yeah.
But there are certain guys that have to move on for the team to be able to kind of breathe a little at that position.
And I don't even know if Frank Gore... I think Frank Gore would have been cool with staying here, but the team was just, they were in turmoil at that point, so it was probably best to move on.
Well, they owed it to themselves to see what right. Carlos Hyde was, and they needed to turn the page. The Kuminga Draymond Green thing has been butting its head for 3 years, okay? And it's pretty clear to me, as long as Draymond's still on this roster, Kuminga will always be marginalized by the coach, by Steph, and by Dre, and because of the resumes.
I wouldn't throw Steph in that. I believe Steph loves playing with JK because JK can, when you run that 1-3 or 1-4, whatever it is with JK, that pick and roll, and JK's diving to the rim off of Steph Curry double team, it is lethal.
But when you sign up to play with Draymond, the unintended consequence is that you are going to give Kuminga the short end of the stick, right? He's coming off the bench. He's going to have to play overlapping minutes with certain lineups that don't include Steph Curry because he is coming off the bench. So there's a whole can of worms about having, and this isn't an either or. I feel like this is one of those situations where when you choose to keep Draymond, these are the unintended consequences of other players getting stymied. Simultaneously, you know, Andrew Wiggins, you know, like he tantalizes us and he'll look good for a couple of weeks or whatever. And then, you know, now Kuminga's out and we need him. And you're just not getting that same, that impact, that desire. How many times did he go to the lane yesterday and just lose the ball?
Yeah, well, you know what? He did. Now, Andrew Wiggins... I want to stall him out a little bit here because, if he's your second best player, can you win a championship? I don't know. I on this team, probably not.
They did it for a 9-week period in 2022.
And he was really good in 2022.
No doubt.
He was good. He actually made the All-Star game, believe it or not. And, you know, everybody's going to say bam, bam, this and bam, bam, that, but whatever. Andrew Wiggins does go out there and defend the top opposing player, wing player, every single night, whether it's Tyler Hero, Terry Rozier. And the crazy part is, Terry Rozier and Tyler Hero combined to score 23 points last night. Well, they didn't even kill you.
Yeah, and Tyler Hero has had a really good year this year.
He's had a really good year.
Last night was not one of them.
And they snuffed him. And I want to give Schroeder some credit for that, too, because Schroeder plays some good defense. But when you do that, and we saw this with Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson, we forget, had some struggles in the playoffs because he was defending guys at such a high level that offensively, okay, your legs might not be there all the way. Wiggins is fine, I think, as a third option. I'm not mad at Andrew Wiggins.
No, but I think in all these trade scenarios, I agree with you. But in all these trade scenarios, everyone's going, oh, Wiggins is the guy that's got to go because he got a max salary.
Well, I don't know who's
saying
that.
And I think that's insane.
If you're asking me,
it's like it should clearly be Draymond.
Well, you look at the Western Conference, you need wing players to defend other wings. Like I completely agree with you. I don't even bother with those conversations. Warriors, future focus.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors' Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
All right, TJD had one of his... He's had a great 2-3-week stretch here. Trayce Jackson-Davis. Ever since being reinserted into the starting lineup, Trayce Jackson-Davis has done his thing. Put it up 19.7 rebounds, two steals, and a block last night. Played 35 minutes, didn't commit a foul. He had a poster dunk last night that woke up Chase Center for us.
That was nice.
Drive by Hawkins, down the lane, no good. Ball tipped away by Kyle Anderson. Picked up by Buddy Hield. He's in transition. Stops at the foul line. The trailer is Anderson. Downstairs to Jackson Davis. Dribbles it out. Hands off to Buddy. Back to Jackson Davis. Banging his way in and dunked it right over the top of Ware.
How's the Warriors' future focus? Just like we love the future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future, too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. All right, Cam and Tim, we're going to get to you on the other side right away as the segment was sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Safe travel in the new year starts at Valvoline Instant Oil Change, your 15-minute drive-through oil change for all vehicle types. Friendly technicians will check fluids, wipers, lights, and more. No need to get out of your vehicle. Locations, coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com. Coming up, Steve Kerr on TJD's Night. You want to hear that? Plus Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry, what he had to say yesterday. That's as despondent as I've seen Steph in a very long time. A very long time. And in Detroit, and Indiana's on deck. And you got this road trip with Toronto and Minnesota. They come back 1-3 off that trip. I don't even want to know what's going to happen. This feels like a crisis. As Steve Kerr mentioned yesterday, they have a crisis in confidence. All right, more Warriors talk coming up. Cam, Tim, hang on tight. We're going to get to you on the other side as it is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
I hate losing no matter what the situation is. So, yeah, the deeper you get into it, you hate having kind of deja vu. So you're trying to not allow your mind to go there. But, again, maintain the hope and belief that this team can win. But it's frustrating. Yeah, when you experience winning, you hate losing even more because you know what it takes to get there. And if you don't have the answers, it's a rough feeling on a night to night, especially when nights like tonight happen.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
All right, Steph, this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. The Warriors have lost back-to-back games by a combined 46 points. They're now 18-18 on the season. And heading out for a four-game road trip that begins in Detroit on Thursday. It's going to be chilly, of course, and Detroit's playing some good basketball right now. They are, folks. They're 18-18 for a young team that is ascending. They're 9th in the Eastern Conference, but they're 8-2 in their last 10. They've won four games in a row. They outlasted Minnesota over the weekend, despite 53 from Anthony Edwards. So, Cade Cunningham, get familiar with him. You'll see a lot of him tomorrow. He's averaging over 24 points a game, 9.5 assists, 7 rebounds. The guy's having a spectacular season. Jaden Ivey, unfortunately, got hurt, so we'll see how they replace him. But Tim Hardaway Jr. stepped up. Let's get to Cam real quick. He's been on for a while. 888-957-9570. What do you do about the Golden State Warriors right now, folks? What is your move? What is your move to build the Warriors back up? Cam, what's up?
Good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing?
I've been better. I'm good. No, I'm
sure,
no, seriously. I'm great. I'm great.
That's good. That's good. Before I get to where I want to say, Bonte, I caught you two nights ago on the Golden Days podcast. You was walking through the arena and ended up on there. Why did you lie to all those people and say you be criticizing Steve Kerr? Come on, man. But anyway, I want you to answer that
I can answer it for you right now. I mean, did you not hear me 2 years ago talk about his lineups and how I didn't like his lineups over and over again with the youngsters? No, I don't. I guess not. Go ahead, Cam.
Go ahead, Cam. But I would say the biggest thing with the Warriors is size. We don't have enough size. Even if we do have enough size, Kerr would not play the guys that have size. It takes players to go out for him to play Kyle Anderson, Moody, when Moody is way better than Pods, Lindy Waters, and GP2. Like we was 12-3, and then Kerr started messing with the roster. Everybody thinks that it was Melton. He definitely helped us, but before when Melton was out, Moody was starting, and Moody was doing his thing. And then after we beat the Celtics, Kerr took Moody out for GP2, and we lost to the Celtics.
No, they beat the Celtics.
The main problem is Cam.
Hold on, Cam. Cam, stay on the line, Cam, because obviously you're losing something there. They beat the Celtics. They beat the Celtics in Boston.
I know, but the next game, Moody started against the Celtics, but he took Moody out against the Cavaliers.
You think they're struggling because – do you honestly believe they're struggling because they're not playing Moses Moody enough? Honestly, you think that's the
I honestly believe that if Moses Moody had Podziemski minutes all those games before he got hurt, we would have a way better record than we do now. When Kerr goes to these small lineups, Schroeder was supposed to be like CP3, running the bench, running the non-Curry minutes, not playing with Curry. Curry doesn't need another point guard.
Can I enlighten you on something, Cam? Do you realize that Moses Moody played 13 minutes against Boston?
I do. I just was researching before I called you guys.
Yeah, well, he played 13 minutes. And then I'll ask for anybody here if we're gonna play this game, because I understand people are mad. And when I didn't even jump on the podcast, I was just walking by Riley. I was like, Bonte, so I whatever. With Guy Cyrus, he goes, are you guys going to rip Steve Kerr? I was like, what would you like me to say about Steve Kerr? Well, honestly, if you want us to rip Steve, what do you want me to say? Fire Steve Kerr? Is that going to make you feel better?
Who's the greatest coach of all time?
Right, he's the best coach.
No. Who is?
All time? Between Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr has 4 rings.
Okay, no. Forget Steve Kerr. Put him to the side. All of those guys are on a staff together coaching this team. How many more games are they better?
Maybe.
Come on, Warrior fans. Like, this is where I get frustrated, because I'm like, look, we could lose our minds, and I don't think Kerr's that great this year, and I get frustrated with certain things and whatever, but the reality is the players aren't that good. Well, and here's the thing. Up until this recent little run, Steph Curry and Draymond Green were a large part of some of their failures in the fourth quarter. And I know that we want to point and identify and blame roster construction and these mythical trades that should have been made that didn't get made. And they were in a lot of these games, and players didn't execute. That's number one. Number two, now they're down their second best player, Jonathan Kuminga. And boy, do a lot of people have a lot of, you know, things to say nice about Kuminga nowadays.
Well, I told Willie yesterday that I'm going to do this now. And I told Malia I was going to do this. 888-957-9570. Would you like to call in and apologize about your J.K. slander? Because since December 1st, he has been your second best player. 21 a game, 7 rebounds, not taking a lot of threes, playing defense, and he's learning how to get better. Is he an All-NBA player? Probably not.
No.
But he's 22 years old.
Dare I say this? Isn't he more reliable offensively currently than Andrew Wiggins?
He's more reliable than anybody outside of Stephen Curry.
We're in agreement. I've
never wavered off of that with Jay. J.K.'s a special talent. Now, is he going to be in Hall of Famer? I don't know. We don't know that. He's 22 years old.
Making the Hall of Fame's
hard.
He's
22 years old. Where was Kawhi at when he was 22 years old? But since we're, you know, because I already see where this is going today. I already see where it's going. Where, as Cyrus said this on a Golden Spaces podcast,
Cyrus?
I don't know. He was on a podcast with Ryan Leong where I walked by.
Gotcha.
I was on there for like 3 minutes.
Okay.
And so he goes, hey, man, are you guys going to rip Steve Kerr tomorrow? And I'm like, what would you like me to say about Steve Kerr? I go, you act like on this show that we've never criticized Steve Kerr. Constructive criticism. Now, if you want me to scream and yell and kick and scream and say, fire Steve Kerr, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to have a measured approach when talking about these sports teams. That's what I do. So, that's number one. Number two, 2 years ago when we talked about the team, the Anthony Lambs and the Jeremy.
It drove me crazy.
Anthony Lamb and Jeremy. Jeremy Lamb. No, Anthony Lamb. Who's my guy? And Ty Jerome. Ty Jerome, who I was thinking about.
Ty Jerome, I was thinking about.
I was thinking about Ty Jerome. I remember having a conversation with somebody in the Warriors, close to the Warriors, and I said, you know, I don't believe Steve Kerr has done a great job in his lineup combinations. That was 2 years ago. That was 2 years ago.
Well,
so don't come at me talking about, hey, man, you never criticize Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr's a hell of a coach, but he's got his flaws. And I've been weary of, like, man, Moses Moody starting or not? Or is it GP2? Or is it short? Like, so, but at the same time, in the NBA, you need talent. You need players. And right now, you got too many damn specialists on the team. One guy can do one thing, another guy can't do this. When you look at some of these lineups, you're like, damn, you got a lot of non-shooting lineups out there. How are you going to get a shot up? So well, the Heat just sat in the zone, sat in the zone, sat in the zone.
The team has been constructed in a way where they try to cover up some of their deficiencies. So I look at Steph, right, for example. We all underrated prime Clay because Clay could wipe away all of the defensive... Why are you shaking your head?
I'm just going to say that, no, we all didn't underrate Klay Thompson. I think a lot of you knew who Klay Thompson was.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, time.
Yeah,
I think
so much
time has passed since prime Klay to where he is now. Like, a lot of us have forgotten. I'm just being real. Like, we forget. You know, like, oh, this is who he was. No. He's one of the greatest, you know, cover-up players of all time. You throw him on the best perimeter player on the outside, and then that allows Steph to catch his breath playing someone who's not a factor offensively.
Yep.
Now, I think the league has adjusted a lot. There are less and less non-threats on the floor at any given time. Back in the day, you could have multiple non-threats, okay? And you'd have goons and guys like that. It's just the league's not like that anymore. Well, the Warriors are almost a bygone product of a lost era because they have a lot of non-factors on offense. GP2.
Yep.
You know, and look, Tracy's scoring a little now, but most nights he's going to be a non-factor in terms of scoring.
No doubt.
A lob threat. Okay,
not
a threat from beyond the arc. Draymond Green. And when you play heavy minutes with Draymond Green, he's a non-shooter and a non-factor. And so what ends up happening is the Warriors are playing an outdated, redundant brand of basketball because they're trying to cover up certain flaws because of their inability to develop and identify their own players who can offset what Steph does bring to the table. I go right back. To me, it all starts with the two guard spot, and I think that they failed to fill that void from Clay's fall from what he was, and that's been their biggest issue as a team, and that's deeper than Steve Kerr.
It's deeper.